Millions of viewers sucked in their collective breath as 4'8" Carrie Strug did that gold medal vault and then landed on a sprained leg. As God picks out heroes to mail Christmas cards to this year, would this member of the Magnificent Seven be one of them? Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, this is Kenneth Richards, and welcome to one of our favorite weeks here on the Voice of Prophecy, God's Christmas cards. Who in the year 1996 would God send a special word of greeting to, or maybe a warning? For the past 3 years now, we've been collecting these old cards from God, including award-winning broadcasts like the one to Susan Smith in 1994, and last year to Fred Goldman after the O.J. Simpson verdict came in. For your gift of just $5 or more, we'd like to mail you this 3-year collection of God's Christmas cards. Details in a few moments. But first, let's go to the 1996 mailbox. Here's Lonnie with today's message. God's Christmas card to Carrie Strug.
Dear Carrie, it's been almost 6 months now, but your Olympic moment is still one of the defining events of the year 1996. Your leap through space, your gallant leap for glory, your vault onto a sprained leg to bring your team, the Magnificent Seven, a gold medal, ran and reran on global TV a million times out of Atlanta, Georgia. It was the wince heard round the world, Newsweek magazine said. And yes, up here in heaven, we know when acts of heroism happen. No, we didn't need a feed from NBC in order to experience the times of triumph, the disappointment of defeat, the tears of both failure and victory. For those 17 days, as many thousands of my children tried to fulfill the Olympic slogan, Sitius, Altius, Fortius, swifter, higher, stronger, we saw your dream come true. What an experience to stare down that runway knowing your ankle was sprained, knowing that even if you stuck your landing, your leg could only hold you up for that one gold medal required second. Even here in heaven, where sports aren't our highest priority, we remember how Japanese gymnast Shun Fujimoto back in 1976 at the Montreal Games took his turn on the rings knowing he would have to dismount squarely onto a broken right leg. And today, we want to think about the why of such a sacrifice. I'd like to send a Christmas card to all the athletes this Christmas, frankly, a personal note from God to tell them right from my heart that they have value to me. Whether they flew back to their homelands with gold medals or with no medals, they're my precious children. Each of you are my trophies. And I look through my photo albums, and I remember with the Creator's pride how everyone went to Atlanta and did their very best. So today, Carrie, as you listen to this card, I hope you'll pass it around to the others. Let your teammates know that God, that's me, is interested in all his children's dreams. I've watched them all train. I've witnessed your grueling hours and days and weeks and years as gymnastic coach Bella Caroli drove you and drove you and drove you until you didn't think your aching muscles could push you through one more routine. But somehow, you and the others made it to that 100th anniversary Olympiad, and you have a gold medal to hold on to here at Christmas time. I guess there are those who will second-guess God for sending you this card today. Why Carrie Strug, they'll ask? Why add heaven's accolade to a vault that probably shouldn't have been made? What about the abuses of sport? The fact that young bodies aren't ready for such punishment. Look at the eating disorders these girls suffer, they say. The osteoporosis, injuries from overtraining, delayed puberty, social isolation. Look at the emotional crush of defeat when a 14-year-old like your teammate, Dominique Mociano, works for 4 years and then falls on her head on the balance beam. What a wrenching moment. And the critics of Olympic competition certainly have their point. Newsweek magazine editorialized about how the United States, and really every country, unwisely idolizes those who are willing to play hurt, give it their all, or take one for the team. No one knows better than me how sports can be tainted with jealousy, meanness, misplaced priorities, focus on self, a greed for gold. I know athletes' hearts. I know your heart. the good desires, and yes, the slightly stained ones. But I still love you. I'm still proud of you. And you're the one who gets my Olympic Christmas card for the year 1996. My 4'8", 18-year-old heroine. And there's really one reason why I chose you out of so many thousands of outstanding athletes. No, it's not because you whispered a prayer there on the runway before making that last vault. God, help me out somehow. I heard that prayer. But actually, I bent down low to hear the prayers of a lot of your fellow competitors. No, Carrie, I'm writing to you because your jump on that vault symbolizes, in 1996, all of the unselfish acts that people on your planet do for others, for a team that's bigger than self, for a national honor that means more than personal headlines and Gatorade endorsements. Anytime someone risks pain, defeat, injury, even death for something that's outside of and beyond themselves, well, heaven takes note. I think many of the viewers around the globe were most moved during the Olympic Games as they saw athletes' tears on the winner's podium. And usually it was tears because a special song was being played, a national anthem. Donovan Bailey listening to O Canada. And who will forget how sprinter Michael Johnson stood there with the gold medal around his neck and simply let the tears flow unchecked down his face? He'd won for his country. And that big, strong man who captured the world's notice with his gold shoes and his blazing speed in the 200 and 400, those incredible twin victories, was moved to tears for his country. Your two team coaches, Martha Karolyi and Mary Lee Tracy, drummed into the seven of you the concept, team first. You sat around in the training room in North Carolina devising a strategy that would be the best for the USA. In fact, you were personally stunned when you got to Atlanta and found that they'd assigned you to go first in the team competition, leading off on the uneven bars, your worst event. But for the team, for the others, and because you had Barcelona experience and they didn't, you went right out there and nailed your performance. Team first. You know, Carrie, your brief flickering moment in the limelight of unselfishness is just one more in the long human history that your planet also finds detailed in my book, The Holy Bible. Doing for others is one of the great mottos of the people of God, going right from Genesis through to Revelation. I could spend weeks retelling these stories. Genesis chapter 13, where Abraham said to his nephew Lot, "Let's not argue. You, take whatever land you want. My family will take whatever's left." Exodus 32, where Moses pleads with God, "Forgive these people. And if you can't, then take my name out of your book too. I'll share in the team's fate." A royal prince named Jonathan, who kept loving his best friend David, even after I announced that it would be David who was going to inherit Saul's throne. What an Olympic attitude Jonathan had. And of course, there was a whole string of prophets all through the Old Testament who had to completely thrust self aside for, quote, the people. God gave them unpopular messages, and they delivered them. They lived in poverty and ate locusts and traveled the countryside with their warnings. The band never played the Star-Spangled Banner for any of them, but they sacrificed for the sake of others who might attain victories because of what they did. I don't suppose Broadway lyrics are the highest of priorities up here in heaven. Certainly, I'm aware of them. But in what some advertising people like to call, quote, the world's favorite musical, Les Miserables, is a brief exchange where young soldiers face up to the fact that sometimes we're called to participate in something that's bigger than ourselves. We sacrifice for a cause that supersedes our own selfish desires, our own instincts for self-preservation. Maybe you've heard it, where in Rojas challenges the others, "It is time for us all to decide who we are. Do we fight for the right to a night at the opera now? Have you asked of yourself what's the price you might pay? Is it simply a game for rich young boys to play? The color of the world is changing day by day." And the hero, Marius, comes back with a shallow little song about how much he loves his girlfriend, Cosette. In Rojas tells him, "Marius, you're no longer a child. I do not doubt you mean it well, but now there is a higher call. We strive toward a larger goal." And then the great chorus, "Will you give all you can give so that our banner will advance? Some will fall and some will live. Will you stand up and take your chance? The blood of the martyrs will water the meadows of France." And French composer Alain Boubil certainly knew what the Bible was talking about, where in John 15:13 Jesus told us, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Carey, all of these stories, these vignettes, find their ultimate fulfillment in my own son, whose birthday is celebrated there on your planet just 9 days from now. Yes, I sent him. But Jesus was willing to go. He made the sacrifice, not for Team USA, but for Team World. He made the great leap of sacrifice, knowing that he'd land not just on a sprained ankle, but with a bruised and crucified body, a crown of thorns, and the 39 stripes of a Roman whip. He left my side and went down, knowing in advance, just as you did, the pain at the end. But also, just like you did, he measured the cost and he considered the prize, and the prize was worthy. That's really the Christmas story, come to think of it. In a little-known third verse to the Christmas hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" by Charles Wesley, I find some of this nobleness of self-denial. Listen to this. "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Life and light to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. And when it was all done, Jesus, my son, my own champion, returned home. Someday, Carey Strug, I hope to have all my champions home, including you. Merry Christmas. Your friend, God."
Thank you, Lonnie, for that message. And friend, remember you can receive all 12 of God's classic cards from 1994, 1995, and the brand new ones here in 1996. They're all included in the new book, God's Christmas Cards. For your gift of just $5 or more, we'd like to mail you this hot-off-the-press Voice of Prophecy book written by our producers, David Smith and John McClarty. Here's our address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Just ask for God's Christmas Cards. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055 and send your gift of $5 or more via a credit card. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. Lonnie?
Here's tomorrow's mailbox recipient, Pat Buchanan. What would God say to this champion of the religious right in this tumultuous election year? I hope you'll listen in. Lonnie Melashenko, reminding your friend that it's always true. Yes, God loves you.
It was a moment of horrible precision as a young mother carefully buckled her two small sons into their car seats, and then Susan Smith carefully released the brake of her maroon Mazda and let it back into the lake. There were several awful minutes of confusion, of struggling, of infant screams, and then nothing but the deadly silence reverberating over the still waters. What would a God in heaven say to Susan Smith? The God who endured those 3 minutes, tears of anger on his own face as his two children breathed their last. Could a loving God ever forgive this murderer, this person who went back into town and lied for a week on national television? God's Christmas card to Susan Smith was the beginning of Voice of Prophecy's annual series, now in its third season. Recipient of an Angel Award, the Susan Smith story is chapter one in the brand new book, God's Christmas Cards. For your gift of just $5, the entire 12-chapter collection is yours in one beautiful new volume. Call toll-free today, 1-800-872-0055 for your personal copy of God's Christmas Cards. That's 1-800-872-0055. Or you can write Box 55, Los Angeles 90053. Discover for yourself the God of unlimited forgiveness and grace.